ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम राम राम। सो वेलकम, हरे कृष्ण। सो yesterday was the most auspicious occasion of Ram Vijayotsava, also popularly called as Dasera or Vijay Dashami. And today is the most auspicious occasion of Papan Kusha or Pashan Kusha Ekadashi. So yesterday we discussed six characteristics or six qualities of Maryada Purushottam Sri Ramchandra that Valmiki describes in the first three verses of the Ramayana. And today we'll take the discussion ahead and overview the whole Ramayana in 40 minutes, 30 minutes. Of course, the focus won't be on all the points, because if you start focusing on all the important points that Valmiki makes in his Ramayana, you can pass ages. As we discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Shukadev Goswami speaks to Parikshit Maharaj, he just speaks about Ramchandra very briefly, just two chapters. And he says, "Oh Maharaj Parikshit, I won't go in deep because you have heard these pastimes." It is good to note that Maharaj Parikshit was hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam in which yuga? Which yuga was?
Kali Yuga.
Maybe we are talking about different Maharaj Parikshits.
Was it in the conjunction?
Which conjunction was that?
Between Dvapara and Kali Yuga.
Perfect. It was the end of Dvapara and start of Kali. So Satya, Treta, Dvapara, Kali. So Satya Yuga had already passed, Treta Yuga had already passed, and now we are in the end of Dvapara Yuga, when Maharaj Parikshit was listening. So Maharaj Parikshit, during his era, had heard enough about Maryada Purushottam Ramchandra.
Whose fault is it? It's mine, but it's all.
Sound effects, huh? So Maharaj Parikshit, during that era, the only katha that they had was Ramayana. Because Mahabharat was there, but it was not a complete epic, not well written and well spoken about. And no Srimad Bhagavatam. So they used to always just discuss Ramayana. So all the discussions, all the speeches, all the hearing were all about Maryada Purushottam Ramchandra. So Valmiki, as we know that every sinner has a future and every saint has a past. Valmiki, by the mercy of Devarshi Narada, became a very exalted devotee. Whomever Devarshi Narada touches by his divine presence, they all turn into great devotees. Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, Murugari, Vyasadev, and now Valmiki. And here Valmiki describes the Ramayana so wonderfully. But let's see what time unfolds. Valmiki describes that Ramchandra appeared in the Ikshvaku dynasty, or the Surya Vansha, the dynasty of the king Ikshvaku, as the very respectable son of Maharaj Dasharath. He was called as Maharaj Dasharath because he could have his chariot move in all 10 directions. What are the 10 directions? How many directions do we know? Okay, can you count the eight directions?
So north, south, east, west, and northeast.
Northwest,
northwest,
southeast,
southeast,
and up and down.
But north and south is up and down, right?
If you look into the three-dimensional case.
Yeah.
We are looking into the map, which is two-directional. But we look into three-dimensional. So if you're looking into the map like this, so north, south, you know, east and west, and northeast, northeast, southeast, southwest, and this way and this way. So all 10 directions. And Maharaj Dasharath, his chariot could move in all these directions, 10 directions. Therefore, he is called as Dasharath, whose ratha or chariot could move in 10 directions. Of course, there are other meanings as well. This Maharaj Dasharath had three principal queens. What were their names?
Kaushalya,
Kaikeyi, and
Sumitra.
And who was born to Kaushalya, who was born to Sumitra, and who was born to Kaikeyi?
Ram was to Kaushalya.
Good. Anybody else? Ram was born to Kaushalya. He was the eldest son. Next. Who was?
Lakshmana and Shatrughna to Sumitra.
Wonderful. That's the last answer people give. So it's good that you said that. And who was born to Kaikeyi? Bharat, the whole reason why the Ramayana took place. So four sons born to three queens, where Ramchandra was the older one. And as story unfolds, very wonderfully, Mother Sita was married to Ramchandra. That description is also very nice. After Maharaj Janaka, the father of Sita, had this Swayamvar ceremony. And the ceremony was such that the lifter of the Shivdhanush, the bow, the sacrificial bow, which was very heavy, as we described, this was so heavy that 8,000 men had to lift this bow at one time, at a time. And they could just take one step and drop it down. Very heavy. And Mother Sita, when she was a child, she lifted this bow with her left hand. Achintya Veda Veda Tattva. So if 300 people are strong enough to carry what 8,000 common men can carry, then good. Then it's simultaneously one and different. But this is what, these are the figures that Valmiki gives. So Mother Sita, when she was a child, she could pick the bow with her left hand and play with it. She could pick flowers and fruits from the tree using the bow. So therefore, Janak Maharaj, when he saw this, he said, my goodness, 8,000 Kshatriyas are required to pick this bow, and this girl at the age of 5 and 6 is able to pick this bow with her left hand. When she grows old and she's like of the marriageable age, if she embraces her husband, the person would die because she is so powerful. So therefore, the minimum criteria was that the probable husband should be able to lift the bow. And Ramchandra not just lifts the bow, but he tries to string the bow, and the bow breaks. And now he being a Kshatriya, he cannot bend or bow before anyone. And Mother Sita is standing with the garland, and she cannot reach to the height of Ramchandra. She cannot climb. So there's a mismatch here. She's trying to garland Ramchandra, and Ramchandra is standing straight like a Kshatriya. He won't bow and she can't garland him. What to do? And everybody is looking. Ramchandra won the contest, but still she's not able to garland. What to do? Silence. Everybody is looking at Ramchandra. He said, I cannot bow down. We come from the Surya Vansha, Ikshvaku dynasty. Lakshmana, who's Ramchandra's very chaste and very faithful brother, he runs to the scene and offers prostrated obeisances at the lotus feet of Ramchandra. And as soon as Ramchandra sees that Lakshmana is touching his feet, he bows down to lift him, and Mother Sita garlands Ramchandra. So very wonderfully Valmiki describes in Ramayana. So after all of that, Kaikeyi, who had two very sweet boons from Dasharatha Maharaj from the past, we know the story, we won't venture into that. How Kaikeyi helped Dasharatha Maharaj win over a celestial battle Dashrath Maharaj was losing that battle and his good wife Kaikeyi stepped on and won the battle for Dashrath. And Valmiki writes here, this is the duty of the chaste wife. Even when she's seeing her husband losing the struggle in life, it's she who motivates and inspires him. So these are not just, if you go into the library, they say this is Hindu mythology, or they are myths. They are not myths, they are historic facts. And through these historic facts, eternal, immortal, moral principles and spiritual truths are revealed. So on the day that Ramchandra was to be coronated as the king, one night before that, Kaikeyi goes and asks Dashrath these two boons and shatters his heart by saying that out of these two boons that you granted me long time ago, with the first boon, I want Ramchandra to be banished, exiled into the forest for 14 years. And with the next boon, if you're thinking who's going to be the next king, I want my son to be the king. Why should the person born from Kaushalya's womb be the king? Why not my son? And she was, of course, brainwashed by Mantra. Now, on the day when Ramchandra had to leave, he was very grateful. Very interesting point. Ramchandra, he never held a sense of grudge. He never thought of revenge. But when he was leaving with his good wife, Mother Sita, and Lakshmana, he went and touched the feet of Kaikeyi first. He touched the feet of Kaikeyi and said, Mother, if you are sending me to the forest, that is where my eternal good lies. What is the use of being the king if you don't desire that? If you want me to be in the forest and my good brother Bharat to be the king, so be it, Mother. I put faith in you. And he touched everybody's feet, touched the feet of Dashrath Maharaj, and left as an obedient son. This is a quality of Ramchandra. He was dharmajnaha, in the sense that he was the knower of religious principles. He knew how to act according to time, place, and circumstance. This is the only instance in the whole of Ramayana where Mother Sita shouts at Ramchandra. She blasts, literally. Valmiki writes very beautifully the conversation between Sita and Ram. And Mother Sita has always been such a chaste and a faithful wife, but now she cannot tolerate. Ramchandra tells Mother Sita, you stay here. You have always lived as the princess. Be here. You don't come to the forest. You don't have to come to the forest. Mother Sita shouts at Ramchandra saying, what a coward you are. If my father knew you're such a coward, he would have never let me marry you. You say that I shouldn't come to the forest because you fear. It's going to be a tough task to protect me in the forest. So therefore, you're not confident about your ability, and therefore you don't let me come to the forest. When Ramchandra heard this from Mother Sita, he said, okay, you should come. According to religious principles, even Srila Prabhupada quotes in one of the purports of the Bhagavatam, it is the duty of the faithful wife to always stand by her husband during all the happiness and all the distress. Sometimes it's very easy to be with somebody when it's all going good. But when it's going bad, it's your fault. It's you. When it's happy, it's me, or it's we. But it's when it's sorrow, it's you. And this goes mutually. Not just to the female, but even to the male. Because that's how our psychology goes. We are so egocentric that we can never take the blame on ourselves. So Mother Sita followed with Ramchandra, and Lakshmana saw this and he said, I also want to come. Ramchandra said, no, she's married to me and she will come, but you will not come. There is no Shastric reference in the Vedas where it is said if the elder brother is banished, the younger one should follow. He may or may not. So Ramchandra said, you don't have to. But Lakshmana said, I will. Whether you accept me or no, I will come with you. And Lakshmana took this humble position. Even when Ramchandra and Sita left, Lakshmana was the one clearing the path of all the pebbles, all the thorns, setting everything right, making a hut, getting water, serving Sita and Ram so that they are very comfortable. Another principle that a devotee must learn. Wherever we are, grihe tako, bane dako, ha gauranga bole dako. Whether we are at home, whether we are in the kingdom, or whether we are in the middle of the forest, our only business is to keep Sita and Ram or our worshipable lords in proper service. We must always continue our service. Lakshmana never complained that I am in the forest, therefore I will not serve Sita and Ram. We sometimes give excuses. Oh, I am traveling. I have no option. Therefore, I have to eat outside. Or therefore, I have to eat something that's cooked by a person who is not properly practicing devotion. Here is Lakshmana in the middle of the forest, but he's still keeping Sita and Ram comfortable through his service. So the description goes, Sumantra followed Sita and Ram and Lakshmana from Ayodhya, who was the minister. Sumantra was the minister. And he followed them up to the banks of Ganga to a place called as Shringverpur, where Sumantra went back and Sita, Ram and Lakshmana met with a tribal king or a tribal personality by the name Guha. Guha was Nishad by his caste, in the sense that he was born of a Brahmin father and a Shudra mother. He was so humble and he had the service quality, and Ramchandra so nicely mingled with Guha. Valmiki writes, this is the quality of somebody who's gunavan, somebody who's having nice character like Ramchandra. He has aristocratic birth, he has exquisite features, he has enormous wealth, and he has abundant learning. Still, he's ready to mingle equally and he's accessible to everyone. Not just with Guha here, who's a tribe, but ahead we would see the whole battle is fought and won over with his monkey troops. Now, who on earth wants to walk around with a monkey? People say that you're known by the company that you keep. And here was Ramchandra not just moving with one monkey, but thousands and thousands of monkeys. In fact, in Krishna's pastimes, also Krishna was moving with those monkeys in Vrindavan. And our acharyas comment that at the end of Ramchandra's leelas, all these monkeys who helped Ramchandra win over Sita or recover Sita very safely, Ramchandra blessed them that every yuga that I appear, I will give you a place in my pastimes. And all the monkeys who helped Ramchandra win over Ravana and recover Sita back, rescue Sita back, all those monkeys reincarnated as the monkeys in Brajbhumi. And that same Ramchandra appeared as Krishna, used to break butter pots, steal butter, and feed these monkeys with his own baby palms. What great fortune is that? This is the quality of somebody who's gunavan or filled with character. Now, moving around with Guha, they spent many days and nights, and they reached Prayaga Kshetra, where they met Bharadvaja Muni. When they met Bharadvaja Muni, Guha was sent back. Just like Sumantra was sent back, similarly now Guha is sent back. And Ramchandra asks Bharadvaja Muni, is there a place around which is meant for meditation? Is there a good place where you can have peaceful meditation and a peaceful life? He told the whole story to Bharadvaja Muni, how he was supposed to be the king, but he was exiled. Bharadvaja Muni points towards Chitraketu, Chitrakoot. I'm sorry, too much of Bhagavatam. He points towards Chitrakoot on the banks of Mandakini. And he says, you should go there and you should take your bath at Mandakini and live in Chitrakoot. Sita, Ram and Lakshman move towards Chitrakoot, live there, eating fruits, roots, bathing in Mandakini and circumambulating the Kamadgiri Parvat or hill. Sita and Ram, they moved around Kamadgiri Hill, enjoying the atmosphere, but that became a parampara. Even now when you go to Chitrakoot, just like in Vrindavan people perform Govardhan Parikrama, in Chitrakoot people perform Kamadgiri Parikrama. They move around and circumambulate this hill because Sita and Ram themselves did it. And all their wonderful pastimes in the caves are there, of they sitting and eating the fruits with Lakshmana. So after moving around there, parallelly, Sumantra, he reaches Ayodhya and he goes and tells everyone, I left them off there and this is their situation. Ramchandra, Lakshmana and Mother Sita, they don't look good with this white cloth and saffron cloth. They look like renunciants. Mother Sita doesn't look good without her ornaments. Ramchandra doesn't look good without his armor and all his beautiful Aishwaryamai or opulent jewels. He's looking like a sadhu. This is not good. Bharat Maharaj or Bharata here was away when all this thing happened, and he wasn't aware of anything that took place. So when he returned and he heard how his own mother, Kaikeyi, had banished Ramchandra into the forest only so that Bharata became the king, he became furious. And after that point, never in Valmiki Ramayana does Valmiki refer or mention that Bharata ever called Kaikeyi his mother. Because he felt the relation that I have to you is always in relationship with Ramchandra. This is how devotees must be. In the name of association, we have to be very, very careful. Sometimes we can mingle with people, right? But we must be very, very careful with whom we resonate our mood. If we set ourselves very loose and very thin and associate and intermingle very easily, what would happen is that very soon we would start taking and imbibing their qualities. One time in one of our Gurukul temples, we had a Gurukul. And the temple president had made it very strict that the students, even if they watch movies, they don't watch karmi movies. They just watch Krishna conscious movies. So a big group went to the theater, the movie theater. And when the president caught them, he said, "Hey, you come here. I heard you went to the theater." He went to this devotee, this temple president, and he said, "Oh, Prabhu, don't worry. We went in the association of devotees. We went as a group." The temple president had told them, "Always be in the association of devotees." "Okay, we'll go to the movie in the association of devotees." We have to be very careful. In the association also, Sadhu Sangha, Naam Kirtan, Bhagavatashrava. Association of devotees means we intermingle and we associate only so that all our consciousness is in Krishna, Krishna conscious. Even among devotees, there is a very very popular tendency to gossip and to find faults and to criticize. Again, I'm talking about the self. So if we can introspect and just check how we are associating with Vaishnavas. Are we associating with Vaishnavas to criticize those who aren't in this assembly? Or are we sincerely associating with Vaishnavas to selflessly serve them and hear from them and speak to them and discuss Harikatha and do Kirtan? This purifies. Or else even an association of Vaishnavas can be a fatal place to be in if we start criticizing. The time our tongue starts criticizing any Vaishnava, that is like an alarm set inside that it's high time we cut our tongue. We have to be very vigilant. So here we find Bharat Maharaj was very focused on how his mood towards Ramchandra is developing. So Bharat Maharaj, with all his rishis and all his ministers, he came to meet Ramchandra here at Kamadgiri or Chitrakoot. And he tried convincing Ramchandra that, "Please come back. Forget all that happened and please come back. We want you as the king. I cannot be the king." Ramchandra said, "Once I have given my word, I cannot go back." This is another quality of Ramchandra. Satya Vakyo. If there are words which have come from his lotus mouth, he will make sure that he keeps his promise. So finally, after Bharat Maharaj or Bharata, he insisted too much, Ramchandra gave his slippers. Bharat Maharaj performed Abhishek to those slippers, held those slippers on the head and went all the way back to Ayodhya. Bharata stayed in a place called as Nandigram, which at the moment is around 14 kilometers away from Ayodhya. He stayed there and kept those slippers onto the throne in Ayodhya. He always believed and always made it a point that he reminds himself that it's Ramchandra's slippers which represent Ramchandra, and he's the ruler, he's the king, I'm simply a servant. Ramchandra ruled like that through his slippers, and Bharata ruled on his behalf with this mood for 14 years. Very difficult to find such a mood in the present generation. We find popular businessmen and politicians and celebrities fighting in the court for property, killing one another on who's going to be more successful and who's going to be more influential. And here is Bharat Maharaj stepping back, Lakshmana stepping back because of their love for Ramchandra. After this, Ramchandra realized that, well, now everybody knows that I am in Chitrakoot with Sita and Lakshmana. Therefore, this is not a safe place for a long term. If I stay here, you'd find everybody coming here every single day. So therefore, I have to leave. Valmiki describes how from Chitrakoot, Ramchandra, Sita and Lakshmana went to the forests of Danda or Dandakaranya. Very famous pastime here where there were sages, munis, sadhus sitting in Dandakaranya. And when Ramchandra passed through Dandakaranya, these sadhus were attracted by the form of Ramchandra. Many sadhus felt like going and embracing Ramchandra because he was so beautiful, he was so handsome, exquisite features. They had never seen anybody like this. Ajanu lambita bhujau. His arms went way beyond his knees. Such a straight, erect posture. He looked so wonderful. Not just internally, externally, but even in his prowess. They felt, let us just go and embrace him once. Let me see how it feels to embrace Ramchandra, the son of Dasharatha. But of course, Ramchandra being Maryada Purushottam, one who is always moved by proper rules of moral conduct, he didn't embrace them because Brahmanas are considered to be higher than Kshatriyas. And he said, if I embrace them or let them embrace me, this is not right. I have to always be at their feet. But as Krishna, who is Akhila Rasamrita Murti, the embodiment of all rasas and who satisfies all the desires, all these sages reincarnated in Braj Bhumi as the gopis. Whereas elderly gopis, they could embrace baby Krishna. That same Ramchandra came as baby Krishna in Gokul, and all these sages in Dandakaranya came as elderly gopis. They not just embraced Krishna, but they could nurse Krishna, they could bathe, give him a nice bath, they could comb his hair, feed him food, put him to sleep, play with him, run behind him. This is the nature of the Lord's love. Bhakta Vatsalyata. We take one step and the Supreme Lord takes a million steps towards us. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Ye yatham mam prapadhyante tam sthataiva bhajamyaham. I reward you according to your surrender. But actually speaking, this is an understatement. Krishna rewards us way more than our surrender. So these sadhus, their desire was also fulfilled. Then walking ahead from Dandakaranya, where many sages complained to Ramchandra in Dandakaranya that there are so many rakshasas who come and torment us. We came here to Dandakaranya so that we perform our meditation, and these rakshasas fly and they pass urine and stool in our sacrificial fire. They kill us. They drink our blood. Brahmanas, no? So they are always doing austerity. So their flesh, according to Valmiki, is very soft and their blood is very sweet. Not that they all have diabetes, but it's like their blood is very sweet and they have a soft, flesh. So these rakshasas never went and ate kshatriya meat. They went and ate brahmana meat. So there was a big, big mountain of bones, skulls, skeletons, bones. And Agastya Muni was the one who took Ramchandra there and said, look at this. These are bones of all the sadhus killed here in Dandakaranya. Ramchandra, you have to protect us. And I will also bless you with all the weapons. You simply have to protect. That's where, by the blessings of Agastya Muni, Ramchandra got many of his weapons. And he looked at this and he started killing all the rakshasas, rampant killing. We find how Parashuram, the previous avatar before Ramchandra, he killed the kshatriyas 21 times, circumambulating the earth. And that led to 9 rivers of blood. So coming in that partial mood of Parashuram, Ramchandra killed 14,000 demons in Dandakaranya. To such an extent, Mother Sita said, please stop. This is too much. Maryada Purushottam has become Narsingadev now. This is not good. Don't use your weapons. So Ramchandra said, this avatar I have to use my weapons. Next avatar I won't use my weapons. So Mother Sita was very happy. So that Yuga, as Ramchandra, he killed always, kept killing with his weapons. Next Yuga, when he came as Krishna, he continued killing, but he never used his weapons. Putana, Trinavarta, Bakasur, Agasur. He was kicking, strangulating, embracing, you know. So Mother Sita, originally as Radharani, approached Krishna and said, what is this? Previous Yuga, you promised me that you won't use your weapons. Krishna said, I promised you I won't use my weapons. I never promised you I'll stop killing. So he continued his killing. And therefore Radharani felt, even in my proximity, he continues to kill. The only time he won't kill is when I jump inside him and he accepts my mood. And when that Krishna accepts the mood of Srimati Radharani as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the whole of Chaitanya Leela, he never killed anyone physically, but through the weapon of the chanting of the holy names, he killed the anarthas in our consciousness. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Then comes the very famous pastime of how Mother Sita desired the golden deer. This golden deer was Marich. Marich's mother, Tataka, was killed by Ramchandra, but Marich was never killed. Ramchandra shot an arrow and pushed Marich 800 miles into the ocean. The place where Marich fell, that place was inhabited by people called as Maurichas, the future dynasty of Marich, and in the present age, that country is called as Mauritius. The land of Mauritius comes from this history, 800 miles, where Ramchandra shot the arrow and Marich fell. Very interesting. There are many places which are influenced by Ramchandra's pastimes. Like if you see in Thailand, I had this good fortune of being there some years ago, and one devotee from Thailand was telling me that in their country, for the last 200 years, they have been having 9 kings, all by the name Ram. Ram 1, Ram 2, Ram 3, Ram 4, up to Ram 9. And even now, if you go to the airport there, there is a very big demonstration of the churning of the ocean. And one side they have all the demigods, and one side they have all the Rakshasas, and they're churning. Very wonderful, even now. And in the Thai boxing, they have many terms which are related to Ramayana. Like they have the Hanuman block and Hanuman kick and things like that. Of course, many more aspects. In some other country, one devotee was telling me that they have a version of the Ramayana called as Ramakiyan, which is written in their native language. It's a little different from Valmiki Ramayana, but the same essence of a noble king being banished and then his wife being kidnapped. So at this point, Valmiki describes the kidnap of Mother Sita through the golden deer. We all know this pastime, but I'll just add a small twist to this on the basis of what the Acharyas comment. The Acharyas say that Mother Sita knew that this is not an actual deer. This is Maya Mruga, or an animal made out of illusion. But she wanted to test how Patni Vrata Ramchandra was, how much he could stretch for her. So Ramchandra also knew this was illusion, but because he loved Mother Sita, he went all the way to catch this demon. And we know the story of how Rama and Lakshmana were taken away and Ravana came in disguise. He kidnapped Mother Sita, and Jatayu, the vulture, he gave a very brave fight. He ended up losing both his wings, and finally when Ramchandra came, Jatayu was fallen, almost dead, blood-stained, and he told Ramchandra, I'm sorry, my lord, this is all that I could. This is the mood of the devotee. Even at the time of death, we are never proud that, oh, look, Ramchandra, I gave both my wings to you. What can you give me? We give 1 hour of service, and in return, we remember it forever. And we tell Krishna, I am doing so much. What are you doing for me? And here is Jatayu, so humble and so grateful, giving both his wings and his very life and telling Ramchandra, my lord, this is all that I can. I should have actually stopped him and killed him and got Mother Sita, but I'm incapable. I tried, my lord. And Ramchandra embraced Jatayu. A vulture is supposed to be eating dead animals. And Ramchandra is supposed to be Maryada Purushottam, who doesn't bow in front of Mother Sita. And here he was overwhelmed by how Jatayu was giving his life. He embraced him and he gave him cremation with his own hands. Look at the fortune. So a devotee must never worry to give his very life at the feet of Krishna. Rupa Goswami says in one song that when we surrender our very life at the feet of Krishna, the only thing we would end up losing is suffering. There is so much Krishna can give us. So never doubt, oh, if I am giving my life to Krishna, would I get some return? Like some people say, what if after death, I carried a Hindu ticket and I realized, oh, the Muslims were right. Or I lived my life as a Buddhist, I had a Buddhist ticket. Oh, the Jains were right. Not like that. If we follow the path of service to Krishna nicely with our heart and soul, Krishna will reward us more than what we can understand. So Ravana takes Sita.
Yeah, I had already bought it and put them.
Side effects. So another understanding is that this wasn't the original Sita, because original Sita can never be touched by anybody else apart from Ramchandra. This Sita is called as Maya Sita or Vedavati. Who could be carried by Ravana? Nobody else apart from Ramchandra can touch the actual Sita. So that's another significant point. So in the attempt to find Mother Sita, Ramchandra sets out and comes in touch with a mountain called as Kabandha. This Kabandha was originally a Gandharva who was cursed to be a demon. Ramchandra kills this Kabandha, liberates him, and this Gandharva tells Ramchandra, oh my lord, please find Sugriv. He will help you. And when Ramchandra hears this and he sets out to find Sugriv, parallelly in Kishkinda, Hanuman comes and intercepts. And Ramchandra asks Hanuman, can you take me to the place where Sugriva stays? And Hanuman says, I am the minister in the kingdom of Sugriv and I welcome you. So Ramchandra is very happy, and that's the meeting that Valmiki describes. Then both of them, Sugriva and Ramchandra, take their individual oaths, where Sugriva wanted Ramchandra to defeat his brother Vali, and Ramchandra wanted Sugriva to help him in an attempt to rescue Sita. Ramchandra keeps his vow, kills Vali, but then Sugriva forgets his promise. He is in his kingdom enjoying liquor and women, and Ramchandra goes and tells Lakshmana, go and tell, remind Sugriva of the promise that he took. Tell him, if he doesn't help me, I will send him through the same door that I sent Vali. Lakshmana said, I will go and send him. He said, no, you don't go and send him through that door. Don't kill him. Just go and tell him. Remind him of his promise. He goes and reminds Sugriva of his promise. Sugriva is startled and he is woken back to reality. He said, oh yeah, I had promised you. I'll help you. Sugriva sends all his monkey soldiers around the whole earth. And Ramchandra is very astonished how nicely Sugriva, being a monkey, is aware of the geographical position of the earth. Then Sugriva and his company, who were originally at Rishimukh Hill, they occupy the kingdom of Kishkinda, and the people in Kishkinda, the soldiers of Vali, also help. Sugriva is not sure whether he would be able to help completely, so he tells Ramchandra that I can try my best, but I cannot guarantee you the result. And Ramchandra tells Sugriva that please put in your best and I would accept it. Now, finally, cutting to the chase, they don't know where Mother Sita is. And here is Sampati. Who is Sampati? He is the elder brother of Jatayu. So Sampati is also a vulture. And he says, my lord, I will tell you where Sita is. She's across the ocean. She is in Lanka, and she is under the shelter of Ravana. And the only person, according to me, who can reach there is Hanuman. Now, the story is very long, but I'll just tell you the essence. That Hanuman, as a child, was given this benediction that he could conquer anything. He was very, very naughty. And he ended up misusing that power because he even ate the sun, or almost kept it into his mouth, thinking it's a ripened mango fruit. That's when his powers were revoked, and at the right time, the powers would be given. This was the time when the powers were returned back to Hanuman, and Hanuman, who never knew how to fly, chanting the holy names of Ramchandra, flew 80 miles high and 800 miles south. That's a lot. Valmiki describes all the opposition that Hanuman faced in his journey, but he was still steady. This is the nature of a devotee. On the path of bhakti, there will be so many troubles, there will be so many hindrances and so many obstacles. But if we are as focused as Hanuman, we will reach the destination. Vyavasayatmika buddhir ekeha kurunandana bahushakhayanantascha budayo vyavasayina. Hanuman was one-pointed and he reached the other place. Finally ended up in Ashok Vatika or Ashok One, where he saw Mother Sita, gave the very beautiful ring of Ramchandra. Ramchandra had given the ring to Hanuman so that he could assure Sita that he is a proper bona fide messenger. Mother Sita was comforted and Hanuman had this desire of seeing Ravana. I'm into Lanka. I don't want to return back. I want to see Ravana. So he played a lot of prank, started killing people, uprooted trees, and he did a lot of mischiefs. The things that he was doing as a child, he continued. Finally, he was caught and he was caught in front of Ravana, who set his tail on fire. And this is the example that Prabhupada quotes over and over again in his purport whenever he has to talk about the proper usage of anger. Hanuman, whose tail was set on fire, ended up burning the whole of Lanka. He was not Trinadapi Sunichena, so let the fire set and let me be burnt, no problem. Just Prabhupada said, utility is the principle. He knew how to even give direction to his anger. And he set the whole Lanka ablaze. Cutting to the chase later again, Hanuman came back and he started shouting, found Sita I, found Sita I, found Sita I. Of course, not in English, but the local language. And Ramchandra was hearing this and he said, wait a minute. First of all, I have to teach you proper usage of words. Why are you saying found Sita I and not I found Sita? So Hanuman, in a very humble mood, he said, as soon as I say found, you would be assured I have done my job. Why should I waste your time saying I? Let me just say found Sita. And if you're interested who did it, then that service was done by me. So he said, found Sita I. Of course, Hanuman's pastimes are inconceivable. We could have another session where we just discuss Hanuman. So he comes back and Ramchandra now prepares to build the setu. The water demigod, Varunde, doesn't cooperate initially. So Ramchandra shoots an arrow into the ocean and Varunde comes out and he says, my lord, I'm sorry. You're my eternal lord. I have to cooperate with you. Do tell me what I have to do. And Ramchandra tells him of the plan of how he has the plan of making this bridge with stones and pebbles. They write the name of Ramchandra and the stones start floating. Ramchandra himself was baffled. How are the stones floating by my name? And Hanuman told Ramchandra, how won't they float by your name? When a jiva who chants your name can float in this ocean of material suffering, can't these stones with your name float on this ocean? When jivas chant the name of Ramchandra, they're afloat in this ocean of material existence. Wow, what these stones? They have to. And Ramchandra simply smiled. They made this bridge. They went onto the other side. Ramchandra coronated Vibhishan even before killing Ravana. And he made this immortal promise. Ramchandra told Vibhishan, Sakrudeva praponnoya tavasmi iti yache abhayam sarvada tasmai dadami etat vratam mama. He said, oh Vibhishan, anyone who comes to me and he says, oh Ramchandra, from this day I am yours. I give him shelter and I protect him completely. Very similar to Yoga Kshemam Vahamyaham. So Sugriva said, what if Ravana comes and surrenders to you? Will you accept him? Ramchandra said, without a second thought. Definitely. We must hate the sin, but never the sinner. We must hate the disease, but never the diseased. We must never think this person is like this, that person is like that. We must hate the common enemy, but we must be compassionate towards the diseased. We end up making this mistake. We hate the diseased even more than the disease. We hate the sinner even more than the sin. Because we also possess the sin. But we must make this united effort of hating the sin, hating the anarthas inside us, and not the people who possess it. We have to be compassionate. Finally, Ramchandra defeats all the demons along with Ravana. And Ravana was a Brahmana. So Ramchandra, being Maryada Purushottam, shot the first arrow, the arrow of flowers, which went and fell at the feet of Ravana. And Ravana was looking. For the first time, somebody shot an arrow of flowers at his feet. And Ramchandra prayed, "You're a Brahmana. I can never kill you. But I'm offering these flowers at your lotus feet. Please grant me permission that I can kill you." And then when Ravana smiled, Ramchandra shot his arrow. And with his arrow that pierced his heart, envy oozed out from the heart of Ravana. This 10-headed Ravana was killed on the day that was Vijayadashami. So yesterday we celebrated Ram Vijayotsava, the day when Ramchandra actually conquered Ravana and rescued Sita. So today, continuing in that spirit, I had to serve you all with this narration. So just as Ramchandra defeated Ravana, the 10-headed Ravana, let us pray the 10-headed Ravana within us, who is represented by lust, greed, anger, pride, jealousy, illusion, madness, all the anarthas that we are aware of. We know it better. We don't have to count. We can introspect. So all these 10 heads within us, let us pray and take shelter of the holy name of the Lord through the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra so that he destroys the Ravana within. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We are very grateful to Srila Prabhupada, who came to this Western world and gave us this immortal history and all these lessons that we could learn from this narration. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for spending it at ISKCON Boston. Hare Krishna.